there and want you to plant some seed. It's time to put the crop in the ground. Little old young whippersnapper, he wanted to go to town. He didn't have time to go out there and plant the seed. Daddy said, son, if you don't plant the seed, you're not going to town. So boy, what did he do? In the rage, he took the seed and said, okay, Dad. Went out there to the field. Dad wasn't out there, so he took all the seed and he just dumped it in one place. Covered them up, went on town. The boy was having a good time. He was having fun. And his dad went out a little bit later and started looking and said, son, that field's just not growing. Dad, it must have been fertilized. But all of a sudden, just a few weeks later, Dad went out there and looked. And in one spot, there was thousands of little seeds coming up. You know that boy, what he forgot was, when you put seed down, the seed's going to come up. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. We're going to be studying about the law of stewardship. And I'm excited about this because this is fun. You said stewardship is fun? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. When you begin to grab hold about this, you're going to learn some stuff that's so true. It's just so true. In other words, there's an axiom. Harvest depends on sowing. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. Whatever you sow. And I love it. I told the story, but I'm going to tell it again because it's my grandson. My grandson got in trouble the other day at school, so when he got home, his dad said, okay, son, here's your punishment. You're going to stay in your room all evening. Now, he's a little bitty tight, okay? You're going to stay in your room all evening. You're going to eat your supper now. I want you to remember about getting in trouble at school. So that's what he did. Dad said, well, if mom had to go off and do something, Dad said, I'm going to just take a quick shower. Went outside, and all of a sudden, when he went outside, grandson Ro just went out, and he just started playing in the ditch. Lee went out there and said, started looking for Ro. Where is he? Went outside and saw him. He said, Ro, what are you doing? He said, I'm just playing in the ditch. And all of a sudden, he said, I had to take care of business again. Took him inside and had to do a little corrective activity. Y'all know what that is, don't you? Had to do a little corrective activity. And when he got through that little bit of corrective activity, you know, he learned that little lesson that sometimes it hurts the parents more than it does the kids. I know kids never believe that. But anyhow, we were sitting around outside eating some chicken and some barbecue at Bob's on 45 South. And I was eating the beans. I love the beans there. And as we were eating there, all of a sudden he started telling that story. My brother Joe was sitting next to me. He looked over there and just started grinning. And Lee said, I know what you're thinking. He says, you paying for your upbringing. I know what you're thinking. Because you know what? You sow the seed and the seed's going to come up. There's something so special about this that we're going to look in the Word of God and see how this works. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6 is where we're going to discover some really neat things. And so Apostle Paul, he was going out there and he was telling the people there at Corinth about the collection and all that was going to take care of people who were hungry back in Jerusalem. You see people back in Jerusalem, there's a famine going on, and they needed help back there. So he was going to go and he's going to take the collection. But he says, you know, just to be sure, I'm going to send some words down there to kind of pump everybody up. So when he sent the words down there to help the church kind of get them pumped up, get ready, all of a sudden he gave us the insight of what can happen to make us happy and move along this way. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6, the Scripture says this, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully also reap bountifully. So let each one give as his heart as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So number one principle, when you begin to think about this, don't give anything. I don't want anybody to give any money to the deacons today. Okay? Unless you want to do it from your heart. Now, if you want to do it from your heart, man, God bless the deacons. You can't do anything. I mean, the deacons, they need blessing too. God bless the Gideons. Because the Bible's going to be sent all over the world. This is big. But don't ever feel compelled that you got to do something because of somebody's expectation level of you. No, you don't do it for that reason. Because if you don't do it from the heart, man, you lose it. You lose it. You can say, well, I know what the law says and I got it. No, no, God loves a cheerful giver. And now, when you begin to think about this, this is going to go much deeper than money, and I don't want you to miss it. So the first thing that we want to remember, your harvest depends on whether you sow or not. But the scripture says, we read, he who sows. Hey, if you don't sow the seeds, folks, you're not going to reap the harvest. Now, Jared wants to make this young lady that he's met real happy. But if he don't sow the seeds, you know what he's going to get? Something real sad. You got to sow the seeds, and that don't mean sleeping when you're supposed to be over at her house. Okay, you gotta sow the seeds. That's what I'm talking about. And so the first thing we want to recognize here is now I say, he who sows. If you don't sow, you're not going to have the harvest. And we have a lot of Christians who say, man, I want to have this great harvest from God. I want to just, God just bless me big time. And they don't sow any seed. Now, something's missing here. You want God to do all these exciting, wonderful things in your life, but you're not sowing the seed. So what do you expect to come up? And look at this. If you don't sow in your marriage, don't expect a harvest later on. If you don't sow in the life of your children, what are you going to reap later on? If you don't sow in your occupation, learning, studying, taking the courses and getting better, more proficient at what you do, then don't expect a blessing later on. What he's telling us right here, something big. It assumes that you're going to sow the seeds. Now, how does that work? You got to give up what you have to be useful for others. John chapter 12, verse 24 says, except a seed falls to the ground and dies, he will not produce fruit. You got to render useless to yourself so that others might benefit. In other words, you want to do something that's going to cost you something. Think about that farmer. He has these seeds right here, and he says, you know what? This corn sure is good. You can cook this corn, and you can kind of... on the cob and put you a lot of butter on it, a lot of salt, and you can just sink your teeth into it. Or else you can take this corn and you can make cornmeal and you can give your cornmeal to Scott. He'll fry you some fish with cornmeal on it and it will be some kind of good. But if you take all your seed and grind them up, all the corn, and make cornmeal, and you might enjoy that catfish supper, but then when the corn's gone, what are you going to plant next season? You see, you got to give something up. Something that costs you something. Sowing. Now, what sowing does, sowing puts things in motion. God starts making things happen in your life. And when you sow seeds, it's the harvest in motion. In other words, the scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10, it's more blessed to give than receive. So Christmas time, when it comes around Christmas time, children, I want y'all to remember, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, is that what you're going to think? Or do you want the big gift? You know what I mean? More blessed to give. God wants you to understand this. It's ministry. And there's two primary things right here he wants you to do. He says, look, when God gives you the corn, when God gives you the special gift, he wants you to do something. He wants you to enjoy it. Enjoy it. In fact, Ecclesiastes 2:24 says, enjoy the fruits of your labor. James 1:17 says, God gives every good and perfect gift, it comes from above. So therefore, you got to use one part of what you've been given, enjoying it, but the second part, you got to be reseeding. You got to put it out in the field. If you don't save the seeds, you got to reseed it. Now, principle number two here. Now, what has God given you? Is it been all just to enjoy the blessings of God, or is it reseeding in some other place? Mom, you know, when she's helped us out a lot in the Dominican Republic. There's been some cash gifts given along the way. And Mom said, when we put the foundation, she said, this is my seed money. This is my seed money. And so therefore, when Scott went down there and he started working on this, it was seed money that was planted before Scott ever got down there. And when Todd went down there and carried 1,000 blocks in one day, it was the seed money that was already established there. It was ready. It was, hey, you got to plant seeds. Because that's how the spiritual harvest comes up. Principle number two is not only you must sow if you're going to reap, but your harvest depends on what you sow. Galatians chapter 6 verse 7 says this, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man soweth, that shall he also reap." Whatever you sow, hey, in your household, if you sow love, what are you going to get? You're going to get love. What do you sow? If you sow truth, you're going to get truth. What do you sow? There's a lot of kids today that are alcoholics because in the home they were sold alcohol. In a lot of homes today, there's abuse because in the home they sowed abuse. In a lot of homes today, there's no respect for parents. Why? Because there was no respect sown in the home. What are you saying? What you sow, that's what you're going to reap. It goes all the way back. Let me give you this picture. Back in the beginning of time, in the book of Genesis, you read how that God created this beautiful world. And He created the pear trees. And He told the pear trees, I want y'all to reproduce after your kind. Orange trees, after your kind. Banana bushes, after your kind. You see, when you go back to Genesis, everything reproduced after its kind. So what happens here, whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap after its kind. Now, young people, let me warn you. You want to go out and sow some wild oats? Poor, I'm young and dumb. I can go out and sow do my wild oats. Hey, let me let you in a little secret. When you sow wild oats, do you know what's going to come up? That's right. Wild oats are going to come up, and you're going to recognize that. So God says very plainly in His world, whatever a man sows, that's what he's also going to reap. So when you begin to think about these things, we need to remember that in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, give and it shall be given unto you. Now, if you gave slop, what you going to get? Slop. If you gave leftovers, what you going to get? Leftovers. If you gave honor, what you going to get? Honor. If you, whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. It is. It's true. Isn't that exciting? Say amen. Yeah, you're awake. Okay. It's exciting. It really is. I can't hardly wait. And by the way, when you need... Oh, well, that's a little bit later. But third principle number three, your harvest depends on how much you sow. In other words, in 2 Corinthians 9:6, we read, "He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." Take the farmer, for instance. All of a sudden, the farmer says he's got 80 acres of ground out there. And he says, "God, I want you to give me a bumper crop on the 80 acres this year." And so what does he do? He goes back and gets in his easy chair and he leans back and he turns on Oprah and then he says, "Okay, God, I'm just going to wait till you give the bumper crop on those 80 acres." But he doesn't go out and put any seed in the ground. And so what does he say? "Oh, God, you can give amazing above what we ask for, what we think. God, you can do all these amazing, wonderful things. God, you're on the count of a thousand hill. This is just 80 acres. God, you can do all these wonderful things." And he doesn't go out and put any seed in the ground. And then when the fall comes, guess what happens? Nothing. Nothing. Because he didn't put the seed in the ground. God's not mocked. Listen, you want big things from God? Sow big things. You want the supernatural of God in your life? You want God to be spectacular in your life? Then don't do the ordinary stuff. God says, "I'm not looking for the ordinary stuff," if that's what you're looking for and you're asking for. So God, bring it out. And so the principle right here is like the principle regarding the offering. Now, financially, the offering is something that's above the tithe. The tithe is the 10%. The tithe kind of opens up the windows of heaven, but the offering determines the rate of return. So therefore, you can't outgive God. God wants you to be blessed. God wants the offering, and He doesn't want you to spare sowingly, little bit, little bit. God says, "No, man, I want you to have it." So the big question is, hey, let me ask you, what do you want from God? What do you want for your family? What do you want for your personal life? What do you want for your career? What do you want for your financial blessing? What are you willing then to sow? Because that leads us to principle number four. Principle number four is your harvest depends on where you sow. Now let me keep this thing in focus right here. I'm going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. I'm going to read it through four passages here. But I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as it purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or in necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make you grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Wow, look at that. Man, not only does excitement with God and God to do great things in life depend on whether you sow or not, what you sow, how much you sow, but where you sow. In other words, you need to sow in good soil. Think about this. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 8, the scripture says, Jesus said, truly I say to you, that there is no one who has left house or brother or sisters or mother or father or children for my sake and the gospel's sake, but that he shall receive 100 times as much now in the present ages, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. Whoa, wait a minute. When you sow in the seeds of the gospel, what's going to happen? 100-fold return. That's pretty good. If I had a place where I said to you, okay, if you give me $10, I'll multiply it times 100, give you back 1,000. Any takers? Okay. Yeah, we got it. Wow. But now I didn't tell you this part. Along with that $1,000 is going to come persecution. Okay? Now there's going to be multiplication. Along with that multiplication factor, remember there's going to be some hard times that's going to come along to that. But by the way, when you invest it into the kingdom, it may only buy 2 Gideon Bibles, that $10. But God's going to multiply it. And then all of a sudden, with eternal life, you're going to get the blessing right there. Where you sow the seed. You need to sow it in good grounds. Good ground, and what is good ground? Good ground is this. Good ground is not to say, okay, hey, by the way, one of the interesting things about this place. In October, Deacon says it's time for us to start doing another budget, right? Scott, I didn't put that in there, Todd. But anyhow, we do our budget. Do y'all know what's been so amazing for the last 8 years at this church? As the last 8 years, God has provided for all the needs. And at the end of the year, we don't have much left over, but we have all of our needs met. And isn't that amazing? How that you've supported the church and the needs are being met? Well, so what happens if all of a sudden we say, okay, God, you have been blessing this group of people right here, but what about this community in the shadow of the church? God says, okay, you sow the seed of time and watch the harvest. You sow the seed of sweat and watch the harvest. You sow the seed of love and watch the harvest. What do you mean? When we go out and sowing, yeah, God may even say 100 times. 100 times. Boy, Tony's going to be busy because he's living down there. And when the blessings start coming, it's 100-fold blessing, and there'll be persecution, but there'll be blessing, and all of a sudden you're going to see it happening. Good ground. Take care of it. But if you're going to do this, if you're going to send this, How do you keep it in focus? In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, he says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." But you got to keep things in right. And you can say, "No, wait a minute, Brother Robert." He says, "I've been sowing, I've been tithing, I've been giving an offering, and I don't see the things, the blessings all happen." Well, sometimes there's insects that get involved. Sometimes insects get out there in the crop, and insects eat away. And you say, "Well, look, I've done everything I'm supposed to do. What about the insects?" You mean there's been some little things creep into your life that ought not be there? Well, yeah, but wait a minute now. God says, "Get the insects out. Boy, you'll get the bumper crop." So that means, you know, is there something else that we can do? Yeah, we got to live right. God wants to bless you. But he says it's going to depend on where you're going to sow. Principle number 5 is your harvest depends on when you sow. When you sow is a major thing right here. So that when you're looking at this, God wants you to continue to sow. Oh boy, y'all should have been with us Wednesday night in our Bible study. We had a handsome of a time in there. And we got things stirred up in there. And it was good. Because you know what? One of the things that happened right there, the Scripture says, "And let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we don't faint." In other words, we got to endure to the end. We got to keep on fighting. We got to keep on moving. We got to keep on sowing. We got to endure to the end. So what God's telling us here, you got to have patience. Oh no, you got to have patience. Does the Lord say that? Absolutely. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12, "That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Whoa! And then he says in verse 15, he says, "And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." In other words, what God is telling us, when you sow the seed, you got to have patience. And that is some people's favorite quality, is patience. Right? Is that your favorite quality? Generation, Pepsi generation, do you like to wait on things? Like microwave popcorn, like instant grits, like instant coffee. Boy, is that what you want? You want your joy, you want it right now. You know, kids walk out of the house and they want to walk into another house just like the house they walked into. Irrespectful that their parents have been working for 45 years to get that house to where it is, they want to walk out and into. They don't want the patience that it takes. So when you're sowing the seed, it depends on when you sow. But if you look, he says in verse 9, back to 2 Chronicles, says, "As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever." So what he's telling us is don't be sluggish in doing well. Don't throw in the towel just because you don't see the crop. You got to keep on doing. And so therefore, God is going to bless. But when He blesses, He says, "Look, don't rob from me. Don't hold the seed back. Don't put the seed in your mouth and eat on them when it needs to go out in the field." In other words, Ecclesiastes 11:1 says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find them after many days." Ecclesiastes 11:4, "He that observeth the wind shall not sow. He that regardeth clouds shall not reap." Ecclesiastes 11:6 says, "In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening with not hold thy hand. For thou knowest not whether thou shalt prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike." What is he telling us? If you don't sow the seed, folks, it's not going to come up. And you can say, "Well, I'll wait till tomorrow to sow the seed, or I'll wait till next year to begin to tithe, or I'll wait till next month to give my offering, or I'll wait." And all of a sudden, you waited so long, and the harvest is gone. Cast your bread on the water. It's going to come back. Don't observe the clouds, because there'll always be a cloud out there telling you not to do what God wants you to do. Take the time with that kid today. Oh, I got to stay at work. No, you don't have to stay at work. You need to spend time with that kid. That kid needs you more than that paycheck needs you. Invest in that kid's life. Invest in that marriage. Invest in that whatever. Don't wait till tomorrow. Invest today. Genesis 26, verse 12, "Then Isaac sowed in the land and received in the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him." But let me give you the background. There was a famine in the land. Isaac believed. Isaac sowed. And he reaped a hundredfold. That's how it works. Hey, look, give me an ear of corn. Okay, y'all know what an ear of corn is? Ear corn. Okay. Give me an ear of corn. And if you just break off one piece of that corn, one little kernel, and put it in the ground, in good soil, God sends the rain, what's going to happen next year? Crop's going to come up, and how many ears is it going to have? Many, that's a good answer. Maybe two. Maybe there are three. That's the farmer. I knew it'd come out. We was talking about milking cows earlier. I knew it'd come from somewhere. Our, this stock of corn now has got 3 years of corn. And remember, it started with one little kernel. Now, if you shelled out those 3 years of corn, you'd have a bunch. One. You see, that's the multiplication factor. That's the principle that comes alive here. And so therefore, he teaches us something. But you got to have faith with it. Mark 11, 23 says, "For I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Whoa! Whoa! Faith! But by the way, shall say to this mountain. I always thought, you know, when I read this, about this big mountain. You know, we're going to the Smoky Mountains, and I can't hardly wait. And there's this big Smoky Mountain, there's the Cumberland Gap. And I can just imagine standing up in front of the Smoky Mountains and say, "Move." And I can just see little feet coming underneath that mountain and start running off. "Where are you going?" "I'm going to the sea." Do you have that kind of faith? Well, maybe not that kind of faith. But what I do have is the faith that, what does mountain represent? Mountain represents difficulty. So therefore, when we pray, we know there may be major difficulty right there, like a mountain. But when we pray believing, God overcomes the difficulty. He even brings children into your life. God overcomes the difficulty. Abraham was 100 years old when he had a child. Amos, there's still hope for you. I'm just kidding. I mean, there's all kind of blessings, you know, that God has out here. So therefore, principle number six. Your harvest depends on why you sow. Why you sow. Here's your motivation. The difference between prosperity gospel and legitimate is this. Prosperity theology is the illegitimate wants money for self-aggrandizement or self-glorification. In other words, God bless me so I can build the house. God bless me so I can have a new car. God bless me so I can have a four-wheeler. God bless me so I can have a new boat. That's not what we're talking about. The motivation of the blessing is this. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, read verse 11. It says, "While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God." So the proper motivation is so that there might be thanksgiving to God. There was one church that I read by Tony Evans. He said that there was this church that they made up their mind that they were going to take up a collection and help start this new church. Want to start? They took up this big offering and they gave it $10,000. Another church came along and they said, "Hey, would y'all take up an offering for us?" I said, "Yeah." I took an offering. $10,000. Wow. Short period of time later, front page of the newspaper. Church receives $500,000 gift from an anonymous donor to that church. You know what? That's awesome. That's awesome. God says, you guys are really serious about giving. Yeah, that's one time. You did it again. God says, watch this. $500,000 to help start churches. Boy, when people realize this, when God starts giving, this is not magic. This is what God wants us to do. He wants us to fall in love with Him. And so then when we look at Him, I read about this preacher. He used to go away. And when he went away, he would bring back something to his kids. Yeah, kids, I mean, dad come home, he's been away for a week or two, and they'd always bring him a gift. Oh, cats couldn't hardly wait. And they get on the telephone, hey dad, what you gonna bring us this time? And so dad loves seeing his kids run up to him. And so all of a sudden, now used to, when dad went home, the first thing the kid, dad, what'd you bring me? Dad, what'd you bring me? And all of a sudden, dad began to feel something. He said, they didn't want to see me. They wanted to see what I'd bring them. Hey, it's about God. It's not about what God's going to give us. It's about His glory. It's about His honor. It's about Him. So when we approach God, we look at the awesomeness of God. God, you're something wonderful. Yeah, that's what it's about. That's what it's about. And when we learn the heart of giving right here, in the home, in the family, at work, with our money, and we learn that whether you sow or not, it's important. And where you sow it, and how much you sow it, and when you sow it, and why you sow it. You see, when you sow it, hey, bring thanksgiving to God. Now the question is, you ready to do it? Are you ready to see God? You want something great from God? Okay. What you got to do? You want to be blessed by God? Okay, what you going to do? You want a dynamic boy family? You want a marriage that's just out of sight? You want children who just love one another and love you? What you going to do about it? Hey, give and it shall be given. What you sow, you're going to reap. Oh, man. Sow for the glory of God. And just allow Him to open up the windows of heaven and give you so much of that relationship, of that kid's love, of that home life. Oh, God, this is so big. Man, God's waiting. What you going to do? Let's pray. Father, we love You. This is so big, Lord. Teach us, God, not to give the leftovers, not to wait to a sunny day, but trust You and love You and love our family, love our church family, love communities that don't even know us. Oh God, You're so big. Help us, Lord, to understand what it means to seek the kingdom of God first, so that we may be sowers. We may, oh God, give You from the depth of our hearts. Give You ourselves first. God, be blessed, be praised, be honored, Lord, in that in which we offer up to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me give you the biggest return that I can think about. There was this father who loved so much that he He gave the very best that he had. He gave his son. And his son did his work for 33 years. 3 years out in the public. And then at the end of that time, his son was killed. Tragically, he was killed. Put in a grave. Many thought that was the end. But then the blessing occurred. On the third day, that father's son came up from the grave. That person was Jesus Christ. You see, giving your heart to Jesus. Oh man. He gave the best. And so what was the return? God gave him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wow! He gave the best. Let's do the same. With our time, with our talents, and with our treasures. Let's do it for Jesus, so that He might be glorified. If you'd like to give your life to Jesus Christ, we'd like to pray with you today. If you'd like for somebody to pray with you, the prayer altars are open. What's God say? If you'd like to join this church, we want to know about it. What's God wanting you today? What's God saying for you to start today? Today. What's God saying to you? Let's stand together during this invitation song. Let's make decisions.